You just bought your first house hack and you have a vacancy. What do you do next? On this episode of the Happy House Hacking Podcast, we are going to walk you through the entire process on how to find a new tenant and get them on a lease agreement. We even do a live conversation with a prospective tenant, which you won't want to miss. Welcome back to the Happy House Hacking Podcast, the podcast designed to help young people in California navigate the path to happy home ownership.
We're your hosts, Owen and Camille Schwiggerly. We are realtors, investors, and happy house hackers committed to helping you learn all of the tips and tricks on how to make your house hacking journey successful.
On today's episode, we're going to go over, once you bought your first house hack, what do you do next when you have vacancies? So on the last episode, we went over how to deal with inherited tenants. And so today we're going to go deeper on how to fill a vacancy.
Yeah. So as a refresher, house hacking is when you buy multifamily property. Typically, you live in one unit, rent out the others. And in our example, our first house hack that we had was we purchased a 4-unit property, lived in one, rented the other 3 out. So when we became the new property owners and managers at that time, we had 2 inherited tenants and 2 vacancies. One of the vacancies we were already planning to move into. So we just needed to fill one other unit at the time, which I'm so thankful was just one because it was already scary enough to go through this for the first time. So I'm glad I just had to fill one vacancy.
Yes. So, and remember the big why behind doing this strategy? It's because as young people, it's so expensive. How can we afford homes in California? Well, if you buy a house where you're able to generate some income and revenue by being creative, doing the house hacking strategy, it can offset that mortgage and make it just so much easier to attain a home that you can comfortably afford. So that was our big heart behind it. And that's the reason why we started this podcast, to help educate more people on taking advantage of this great strategy. And let's go over how to fill your vacancies.
Yeah. So the last episode, one of the major points that we wanted to just stress and take home was to maintain professionalism at all times. And that same for filling a vacancy too, right? You are going to be meeting tenants in person, screening them on the phone. You are going to just be meeting all types of people. And you might feel so scared on the inside like I did, but you got to fake it till you make it and have confidence that you are the property manager and you're responsible for filling the vacancy with the right person who's going to honor, respect the property in the same way you would.
Right. It's all about keeping it professional, not personal.
That's right.
You're looking for people who would be good tenants. This is a business decision. It's not a friendship decision. So you really want to vet these people very thoroughly and well. So, and then keeping that degree of separation, having a business phone number, email, business name, all of that will help keep it professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have this vacancy, you market it online. Maybe you're on Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, Apartments.com, Zillow, and you're getting applicants, right? So what do you do when you get your first applicant?
Yeah. Leads start coming in online. And ultimately, what you want to do is get them on the phone, because once you're on the phone, you can really get to know this person a lot better. And, you know, they can say something just via email, via text message. But once you have them on the phone, you can start to feel, hey, is this person being honest with me? Are they a person that meets our standards and requirements? Mm-hmm. And so today we are going to do a live role play of what an inbound or tenant conversation call looks like when a property manager and the tenant are on the phone.
Okay, I'm going to be the applicant. I applied to your vacant 1-bedroom, 1-bath unit for how much? You think 1800?
Yeah.
1700,
1800? 1800 okay. Probably is a good rental rate. And okay, did you apply yet, or are you just
Let's just do a screening.
Okay.
Call. Yeah. So I reached out on Zillow. I said, hey, is this property still available? I'm interested. And what did you say back to me?
So then I said, yes, the property is available. We do have minimum screening requirements for the property. Your income needs to be 2.5 times the rent, minimum 650 credit score, no pets, and no smoking. Do you meet the requirements? If so, let's set up a time for a tenant screening call. What's the best phone number to reach you at?
Okay. So I said yes, and I sent you my phone number, and now you're going to call me.
Okay. So
okay.
Ring, ring.
Hello, this is Camille.
Hi, Camille. This is Owen from Zillow. You reached out about one of the properties we have posted for rent. Did I catch you at a bad time?
Yeah. Which one is this again?
This was the one bed, one bath house close to downtown. It's posted for $1,800 a month. It was recently renovated. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. I remember that one.
Okay. Awesome. So could you tell me a little bit about yourself, Camille, and the reason for your upcoming move?
Well, you know, it's a little complicated. I just have to move quickly. You know, it just didn't work out at my last place.
Okay.
So I just need to find a new one. I'd love to move in today, honestly.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, tell me, what's the reason for the move coming up so quickly?
Well, it's just not working out with my current landlord. So I have to move, like, right now.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Was there some sort of issue with the property or the management company you're working with?
Well, yeah, the property manager, really not good. Not good at all. But I just need to move. So when could I start a lease?
Oh, okay. Well, great. You mind if I ask you a couple questions before we set up the next step in the application process?
Okay.
Awesome. So tell me, what is your current monthly take-home pay?
Well, most of the time I take home around $2,000, maybe $2,200 a month. So that's like my average.
Got it. Okay. And would you be the only person living in this unit?
Well, all the time, yeah. But, you know, I have friends that like to stay with me and, you know, come and go and stuff. So
of course. Right. And would they be staying with you for longer than 14 days?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. All right. Anyone who stays longer than a period of 14 days would also have to go through the application process and be added to the lease.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. Got it. All right. And then what's your approximate credit score?
Oh, I don't know, actually. Where can I find that out?
Oh, you know, like Credit Karma. There's a lot of different online platforms. Have you ever looked at your credit score before?
Not really. I mean, I have different credit cards, so I have credit, but yeah, I don't know how to answer that question.
Do you have anything that you're aware of that would come up on a credit report if we pulled one?
Well, you're not actually going to pull one, right?
Oh, no, it's actually part of our process. We do a background and credit check on every applicant. Would that be okay with you?
Well, maybe if I sign a lease today, you don't have to pull my credit.
Well, actually, it is part of our process, and we don't approve tenants without doing a background check and credit check. So do you have a problem with completing a background check or credit check?
I mean, I'll do it if I absolutely have to, but I can have you talk to some people that I know, references, and they say the best things about me. So don't you worry. You will get your rent check every single month, Mr. Landlord. Don't worry.
Oh, good. Well, that's absolutely important too. Are you okay with us calling references and previous landlords?
Yeah, I'll send you a list of some people to call.
Okay, great. And then how many pets do you have?
Well, I don't really have pets. You know, they're not mine, but, you know, I have friends who leave their animals with me sometimes and pay me to do some animal watching,
but okay.
That's it.
How many pets do you typically have staying with you?
Well, it just kind of varies. You know, sometimes it's 7, sometimes it's 12, sometimes it's just 2.
Wow.
So it really just depends on the day.
That's wow. And are you making good revenue on that?
Oh yeah. My friends pay me great amount of money.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good for you. And then how often do you smoke?
Oh, I don't smoke.
Okay, great. Well, you know, based on everything you've shared with me, there are a few minimum screening standards that aren't being met. For example, it says it in the job or the post description, income needs to be 2.5 times the rent. So are you able to have anyone co-sign or help cover for you to get you onto that lease agreement?
I always, always figure out a way to pay my rent. So I wouldn't worry about that. I will definitely make sure you get paid rent every single month.
Great. I'm happy to hear that. And then as far as the animals go, there is a no pet policy at this property.
Well, they're not my pets. They're my friends are asking me to watch because, you know, I'm self-employed. So it's like one of the ways that I make money.
Well, and this is a residential unit. It's not a commercial unit. So you wouldn't be able to run a business.
Well, it's not really a business. It's just like watching for a friend here and there. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what we can do as a next step, Camille, is I can send you the link to apply online. And it's $29, goes towards a credit check, background check, and we'll need to contact references and go through the rest of the screening process before you'd be approved for this unit.
Well, I'll think about filling that out, but I'm ready to sign a lease today. So send over the lease and we can get started.
And before we get to that point, we do need to go through the rest of our screening requirements. So I'm going to send that to you right now. And then once it's filled out, we can proceed with that next step.
Okay, Mr. Landlord. Sounds good.
Thank you so much. Goodbye. Click. I'm probably never going to hear from that person again.
That person's probably not going to fill out all the info you want.
Which is fine by me. I do not want that person as a tenant.
Okay, well, so I will say that was a little bit extreme. We haven't had that rough of a screening call. But yeah, the big red flags are this applicant did not make nearly enough money. If they're going to be paying an $1,800 rent and they're only making $2,000 to $2,200 a month, that's a really risky applicant.
Yeah.
Not aware of their credit score, but also really hesitant to pull a credit check.
That was a concern.
That's a big concern. And if there's a no pet policy on this house and they have animals coming and going often, including other people coming and going often, it's unclear who your tenant is, and that could pose a safety danger to your property.
Yeah. And some other red flags. Those were all just like the minimum screening standards. And so if someone's not meeting the minimum screening standards, we can easily disqualify them in a way that meets fair housing. Because in California and nationwide, there are protected classes. You're not allowed to discriminate against anyone for race, religion, color, creed, sexual orientation, ancestral background. There are so many things that are protected. So you can't discriminate for any of those reasons.
Right, right.
And that's totally fair because we want to make sure everyone's treated equally in this country and given a fair opportunity to get a housing unit. Mm-hmm. So what are the things that you can disqualify someone for? It's your income. If they have a repayment history that's not very good, you need to know that. If they have eviction history, you want to know these things.
Which that applicant probably did.
And see, that was the first red flag.
Yeah.
She said, hey, I have to move immediately. I want to sign a lease today. Yeah. Whenever someone has this level of urgency or desperation when it comes to moving, there's something going on. You need to ask questions and probe and dig a little bit deeper. And I could have dug deeper into that situation, but I found out other information that helped me know I'm going to disqualify this person. But she kept pushing. She kept pushing. And she really wanted to sign a lease today. She hadn't even seen the unit yet, which that's another red flag. You want to show it, but you only want to show it if they meet your minimum screening requirements.
Exactly. So it's going to save you so much time having a crystal clear process of you post your house for rent, then you do a screening call, because then you're already able to narrow the funnel on who is applying. Mm-hmm. So you have your screening call, you send them the application, then it's up to them to decide if they apply or not. You get multiple applications, you see which of the applicants are the best. Then you set up a showing, because that's time consuming to have a showing. So you want to do it for only the most qualified people. And then you can offer a lease to the one that meets every criteria and more.
Right. And let's say they don't have the income requirement. Maybe they have a co-signer, or maybe they're getting Section 8 to help cover them. They have a housing voucher. Mm-hmm. So there are things where, okay, you have to look at the whole picture. Like, do they have other sources of income that will help them make that payment? Because that's what we really care about, is we just want to make sure that this person's going to be on time, make their payments, respectful to the property, keep it in good shape, make sure it's clean, and all of that. So there's lots of things that come to it, come to making a good decision.
Because
ultimately, when it comes to property management and renting property, who you choose is the most important decision you make at the end of the day.
Especially if they're your neighbors in a house.
Yeah, exactly. You want to be extra cautious to make sure you're choosing someone who would be a good neighbor and good tenant.
Mm-hmm. And we always, always say this to each other. A vacancy is better than a bad tenant. We would rather have a vacancy any day than having an extremely difficult tenant that isn't paying on time, that is disrespecting and vandalizing the property, mm-hmm. that is making the whole complex feel unsafe with this illegal activity.
Yeah.
So background checks are critical. So at the end of the day, it's always better to have a vacancy than a bad tenant.
Yeah. And so once we bought our first place, we had our unit that we had to fix up. Plus, we had another unit we had to fix up in order to get that market ready. And we posted it for rent, and then we started getting leads, and we were able to find a great quality tenant who was able to then move into the property and start paying rent. And pretty much as soon as we had that vacancy filled, I think we got on a plane and went to Europe.
Yeah, we did.
It was like, awesome.
Yeah.
Once that unit was filled, basically our mortgage payment was totally covered by the rents that were coming in. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was. So we were able to travel without worrying about a housing expense for 3 weeks. It was awesome. It was awesome. I would do it all over again just for that.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. Now, some other technicalities, things to think about. If you're doing a house hack, you want to have this be professional. You also want it to be simple. And a lot of people in real estate industry, they still rely on paper checks in the mail. And we're young. We're thinking, wait a minute, paper checks in the mail? I don't want to have to go to the mailbox, pick up a check, go to the bank, put it in the bank.
Especially if we're traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want this auto deposit in our account. I don't want to waste my time going to the mailbox and going to the bank. So we found out about a free property management software.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of good ones out there. And so we used Cozy at the time, which became apartments.com. And essentially, it's so easy. It gives you the ability as a landlord to have people do the background check, credit check. The tenant pays $29 directly to apartments.com. And then it provides you with the background check and credit check.
Mm-hmm. And
right,
it's free. It's free for us to use as landlords, and it's free for the tenants to use as the residents paying every month. So it's really awesome. You can customize it, set up your own late fees, set up your own lease through there. It's really, really a great resource, and it's free.
Absolutely. And that's so important too, because on the last episode, we talked about once you've set up your business, you want to make sure you're professional, and you want to make sure that you are consistent, because the moment you start letting rent come in late, it's going to start a bad trend, a bad habit. And so through apartments.com, you can actually set it up where it will automatically issue a late fee if they're not paying on time. So for us, the way we have it set up is rent is due on the 1st, but they have 5 days of grace. So they have till the 5th of the month to get that rent payment initiated. And then once it's initiated, they're good to go. But let's say they don't pay by the 5th and then the 6th comes up. You want to be firm. You want to be on it right away. And so there's an automatic $75 late fee that gets added to their bill that month.
Yeah. So we always reach out first and just check in and say, hey, so-and-so, just want to check in, make sure everything is okay, because we noticed that you're late on rent this month. And just that simple, like, ask first, right? Seek first to understand and then to be understood is a big game changer, because you don't know the situation of your tenants. Maybe they had a family emergency and they didn't even have a moment to initiate rent, and there's some reason, and that they're not shorting you on purpose, right? So more often than not, there's always a legitimate reason. They apologize and it doesn't happen again. You're still enforcing that late fee, mm-hmm. though, but you're asking from care and concern. So that's a big thing. So when you fill your vacancy, make it very clear during your leasing consultation that, hey, we have a strict late fee policy. We're always going to check in, make sure you're doing okay. Mm-hmm. But no matter what, you're going to get this late fee. And for us, it's $75. For you, it might be something totally different. Some property managers do a percentage of the rent. Others just do a flat fee like we do.
Mm-hmm. And then let's say it goes down that path where they continue to be late, you may need to issue what's called a 3-day notice to pay rent or quit.
Yeah, which we've also had to do that too. And the tenants did end up performing and paying rent. So that is something you can do. And we definitely recommend using the California State Prepared leases and all of the additional documents when it comes time to do a notice. And hopefully you don't get to that point, but you have to have that paper trail. If you do end up being in a situation with a tenant where you may need to evict them, you can't just evict on the right willy-nilly on the front end. You have to make sure you have your paper trail documented, making it very clear that you try to work with them to make it happen. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And that goes back to making sure you have this all in writing. And that lease agreement that you choose to work on is so important. So if you're in California and you need a copy of the California Association of Realtors lease agreement, it's been fully vetted by multiple attorneys. It's super strong, bulletproof. It will protect the landlord, protect the tenant. It outlines everything. You can get a copy of that by talking to a local realtor. I'm sure that if you reach out to someone that you know in real estate that is in business, they could probably help you get those forms and get access to that information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like we said last time, you want to make sure you're as clear as possible. Clear is kind, unclear is unkind. So be clear with your rules, your regulations, your leases up front with both your spouse, your business partner, and your tenants in order to make this transition to property management as smooth as possible. And that includes being very clear about what your minimum screening requirements are for your tenants when you're trying to fill a vacancy.
And that wraps up this episode on how to fill your vacancy once you bought your house hack and you had a vacancy. How do you market it? How do you screen tenants? And how do you get that lease agreement signed? Thank you so much for tuning in to this Happy House Hacking episode. We would love to have you subscribe. Please like the podcast, share this so we can get the message out to more young people in California and help them on their path towards happy homeownership.